The coronavirus is the biggest threat this country has faced for decades.
We have asked everyone in Wales to make changes in the way we live our lives.
Stay at home during this pandemic.
Welcome to Journos in Lockdown,
a podcast created by trainee broadcast journalists who are learning to report in a global pandemic.
As we've not been able to go out and meet journalists, we've decided to bring them to you and ask them what challenges coronavirus has brought them
and what the future of journalism might look like.
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Journos in Lockdown. My name's Evan Hall and I'm a trainee broadcast journalist. Last week I virtually sat down with Paul Brand, ITV's political correspondent and host of the Acting PM podcast. In today's episode, Paul spoke about the challenges of TV production in the coronavirus period, his current series of reports on the care home crisis, and advice on getting into the industry. So without further ado, here's the full episode.
Paul Brand, thank you very much for joining us on Journos in Lockdown. Obviously, currently, the situation for journalists is obviously it's ever-changing with the coronavirus. So what challenges are you facing as broadcasters, which people maybe from the outside won't think about?
I think the greatest challenge for us right now is logistics in terms of getting out and covering a story when, although we're key workers and we are allowed to move around, obviously the advice is to try and limit your movement as much as you can and to keep 2 meter distance. And so, for example, I've been focusing on the care sector, which, as you know, is already a sensitive place to go and film in because you're dealing with people behind closed doors in a private place where you would need a lot of extra permission to film. And then when you add in a deadly virus, which we carry the risk of taking into the home, or equally we could carry the risk of catching it from the home, it does make filming at this time incredibly, incredibly challenging. But it's also a time for creativity because we're finding lots of new ways around all of these challenges. So, for example, with care homes, we've been filming through windows, through doorways, interviewing people outside. We've been handing over little GoPro cameras that they can then take in, and the carers do some of the filming for us on the GoPro camera, and then we disinfect it when it comes back out again. So there are ways of sort of getting around some of these logistical challenges, but it is difficult. I mean, apart from anything else, when you're on the road at the moment, there's nowhere to stop to get a sandwich. There's nowhere to stop to get a bottle of water. There's no toilets open anywhere. So there are lots and lots of difficulties, actually, in just doing a job that involves travel a lot of the time.
So in terms of, obviously, you've alluded to there, your current series of reports you've been doing on the care sector mainly, how much sort of work goes into that? And does it take a physical and emotional toll on you?
So it takes a huge amount of research to do those stories. And it also takes a huge amount of personal investment, I think, to do those stories, because you're talking to people who are traumatized, I think it's fair to say, actually, by what some of them have seen during the coronavirus pandemic, particularly the carers who would normally deal with maybe a couple of deaths a year. At one care home we went to, they said they have a couple of deaths a year, but now they're dealing with a couple of deaths a week. So they're seeing death on a mass scale, and that is affecting them quite deeply. And so conducting those interviews obviously requires a lot more sensitivity and a lot more compassion and patience than we would necessarily require during normal times. And those interviews are very upsetting. And I think you wouldn't be human if you went away from them without feeling affected, actually, by what you've seen. And we've all got a job to do, and we're all able to kind of keep a bit of personal distance from the story. But they are deeply upsetting stories.
Obviously, this, you saw again alluded to, this virus has maybe opened up a new type of way we could be broadcasting. Do you think it'll sort of, when things eventually or will come back to normal, do you think that will continue? Do you think we'll have broadcasting like this? Is it going to change the industry?
I think it will change the industry. I think there's a kind of double-edged sword to the way that we've been working lately. So on the one hand, you know, we're doing a lot more interviews via Skype and via things like Zoom. And I think that actually is broken through a lot of barriers that exist in broadcasting about getting to people in difficult places where, you know, we felt that we absolutely had to send a camera, particularly for news bulletins. I mean, the rolling news channels have been doing Skypes and things for some time now, particularly on a weekend. But I think for broadcast bulletins, we always felt that if you did a Skype or a FaceTime call, that was a failure, really, to be able to get the proper resource necessary out there. So I think the bar will have been lowered to some degree in terms of what we're willing to accept in order to get a key interview in perhaps a remote place in the future. But on the flip side, I think actually once we get going again, once the lockdown is lifted, once we return to some normality, we will want to return to a situation where we're sending cameras out a lot more, because there is a certain degree you can do over Skype, but ultimately there's nothing better than a face-to-face interview in order to capture the emotion maybe that's going on, or the anger, or just to get a true sense of the story. I think you can't beat face-to-face.
Yeah, and then sort of with that then as well, obviously ITV is quite a people-based type of network, and obviously they enjoy using more live elements. So obviously it'd be a bit more challenging for ITV maybe to do that.
Yeah, and I think ITV prides itself on really being on the side of people and being on the side of their audience. And I think unless you're out there among that audience yourself, when it's safe to do so, it's difficult to really tell their story. I mean, for example, we went to a care home the other day where we'd gone in there intending to tell one particular story. I say gone in there, we didn't go inside the home, we went outside the home. But we'd intended to tell one particular story about PPE and testing. And actually when we arrived, we saw family members saying goodbye to their loved ones at the windows because they couldn't go inside. And we ended up telling that story instead because it was an incredibly powerful story about the pain of not being able to be with your loved ones when they've either got COVID-19 or they're dying with COVID-19. And so I think it's really important for us as a channel that prides itself on understanding people and telling stories from the point of view of people, that we're still out there talking to them, interacting with them and seeing things through their eyes.
Yeah, I can see what you mean. Yeah. And then so then if we build this sort of forward, then obviously you're a political correspondent for ITV and obviously you do the Acting PM podcast for ITV as well. In terms of politicians then, like sort of face-to-face interviews, you know, you've questioned some of the big names, the likes of Boris Johnson, etc. How would you prepare for something like that? And then how would you, obviously these days, the media, the politicians are known for rambling on and maybe not answering the question as such. So how would you maybe interject to try and get an answer?
So you prepare by going in there knowing as much as you possibly can about your subject area and researching everything really, really thoroughly. And I always prepare. I mean, I know some people who prefer to maybe ad lib it a bit and wing it a bit. I like to go in there with, particularly if it's a big set piece interview with the Prime Minister, then you want to know that you've game planned it to some degree and that you know what he's likely to say in response to a question and what you might be able to follow up with in order to get the most out of that interview that you possibly can. And every politician is different and every politician responds in a different way. And I think you have to be able to anticipate the kind of style that they've got and the kind of interaction they may have with you. But really, it's just about understanding people to a large degree, being a political correspondent. You know, we treat politicians as if they're not people sometimes, and really they are. So it's about having a bit of self-awareness, a bit of social intelligence, I think, and just going in there and knowing how to interact with someone and get the best out of an interview.
Do you ever feel pressured when you're opposite a big figure? Because you are, as you say, with the people there, you sort of representing the people's views, and you feel that if you've got to get it right type of thing.
Yeah, I think we all feel pressure in our jobs, and there are moments where you may have a key interview with someone and you want to get it right. I think the pressure I feel most is to get the tone right a lot of the time, particularly now, for example, with coronavirus. It's very interesting having the public watch these press conferences in real time and take a look under the bonnet, really, of how we operate as journalists. And I think some of the things that they've seen have created a bit of a debate about the way journalists hold politicians to account, and it's really key that we get the tone right in those press conferences and that we are representing our audience in the way that they want to be represented, while also asking questions that, you know, perhaps they haven't thought of that we think are important, and we're not just there purely to represent our audience, we're there also to hold power to account and think of, like I say, questions that maybe the audience haven't thought of. So it's a delicate balance all the time, trying to get that tone right.
So do you work in collaboration with other ITV correspondents and editors, or is this solely your type of, if this is your day to do the press conference, is it purely you sort of thinking about the question, prepping, etc.?
No, we do collaborate and we do discuss. And obviously the programme editors on any one day will have a preference for what kind of topic they want you to go on. And you might have your ideas, they have their ideas, and you kind of come together and you discuss it collaboratively. So it's a very much a team process.
So then, again, let's moving forward a bit more again now. So obviously for us as trainees at the moment, it's obviously quite a hard time, obviously trying to break through and certain things like that. So as trainees, what do you think we could be doing right now during this period to sort of push ourselves forward in the industry?
I think the best thing that you can all be doing actually is trying to investigate your own stories around coronavirus and find angles that nobody else has looked at. I mean, this is a story that, unlike any other story in my lifetime, affects every single viewer. Like, there's nobody who isn't affected by this story. It's a hugely universal story. And so there are a million angles that you could take that, quite frankly, there aren't enough space for on a news bulletin. So I think it's about that kind of grassroots journalism. What can you find out about, and what can you blog about, and what can you then present when hopefully the lockdown's lifted and you're able to put yourselves forward to the industry? What kind of examples can you present of interesting angles that you found? And the biggest thing that I found has helped me in my career is just to come up with ideas all the time, as much as you possibly can. And so I think if you're going to a broadcaster, applying for a job or work experience in these difficult times, if you can go there with three ideas of stories that you would want to cover, that's going to massively open the door to you.
So maybe be a bit more creative in how we think about stories then, basically.
I think be creative and just look at all the angles that the mainstream media at the moment aren't covering. You know, what are the stories that we're missing? Or what are the stories that might develop in 3 months' time that no one's kind of got the capacity to think about yet? That's what, you know, for example, with care homes, that's what we're trying to do constantly on a day-to-day basis, is not think what's happening today in care homes, but what's going to happen next week in care homes, so that we are constantly ahead of the story. And we can't, you know, it's just physically impossible for us to look at every single angle all of the time. So I think if you're coming up with angles creatively that no one else is thinking of and presenting them, then that's gonna put you right at the top of the list as a real asset to a broadcaster.
Do you think maybe that the news is dominated by coronavirus latest stories at the moment, and there could be a bit more discrepancy or leniency towards having more sort of day-to-day normal news?
I think the reality is that coronavirus is going to continue to dominate the news cycle. I mean, we were talking the other day in the office about what is the first story that's going to knock coronavirus off the lead item in any bulletin. It's such a dominating story at the moment that I don't think we've reached a point where it's going to allow much space for other news. But that will start creeping in later, because there are important issues that we're not able to discuss purely because of the volume of coronavirus news.
But was there a lot of planning or contingency in for Boris Johnson, the situation he was in?
I think we were all very live to the fact that the Prime Minister was in a very serious situation regarding his health. And certainly we were all prepared to be called at any moment, perhaps, to have to report on an update to his health condition. And thankfully, he was obviously discharged from hospital, and his health has returned. But yeah, of course, at a time like that, we all think seriously about our availability and whether we might be called on to provide an update.
And then, again, keeping on this theme, maybe with trainees, and maybe a bit of a daft question as such, really, but how much graft and luck is needed to get to somewhere like where you are today?
I think, for me, it is 95% graft, and you make your own luck in this industry. And what you put in is, to a large extent, what you get out. I think there are still some exceptions to that rule. I think, unfortunately, broadcasting is still not as open as it could be to diversity. So I think if you're from a particular background, perhaps you may still have an advantage in this industry. But that is improving at a very fast rate. And I think most of being a good journalist is just having a good instincts, being hardworking, and being good with people more than anything else.
And then in terms of what's the best piece of advice you've been given or you could maybe give to us?
I think the best piece of advice is, as I said earlier, come up with as many ideas as you can. That's what will make you stand out from other journalists. There are storytellers and there are story getters. Some people are both. If you can be both, then that's great. So if you're able to tell a story fantastically because you're a good writer or you're good at presenting to camera, that's a real asset. And if you can get stories because you're bringing in journalism and you're behaving more like a newspaper journalist at times and actually getting stories and being investigative, that is a huge asset. And if you can do the two together, that's when you're really in the sweet spot.
So then, just coming on to my last question then, and it's a bit of a quick-fire, light-hearted round. So if you want to answer them maybe as quick as you can.
Okay.
So, memorable or funny moment on telly?
Probably a wasp attacking me live on Lunchtime News.
Biggest unintended mistake?
I was doing a live outside a hotel once where there'd been a particular crime and I kept calling the hotel by the wrong name all the way through the live, even though it was on a giant sign behind me.
Are you a pen and notebook or an iPad type of person?
I love a pen and notebook.
Are you bright socks or bright tie?
Oh, God, neither. I can't stand either, actually. So I'd probably go socks because I can hide them better.
Chinese or Indian?
That's a good question. I think I prefer an Indian for dinner, yeah.
Early morning or late night?
Early morning.
Favourite location?
Wales.
Anywhere specifically in Wales?
Well, I'd have to say the Vale of Glamorgan because that's where I'm from.
Ultimate broadcasting dream?
Dream? Oh, God. Ultimate broadcasting dream. Oh, that's such a hard question. There's so many things I'd love to do. I'd love to cover an American election at some point in my career.
If you could have anybody in the world, dead or alive, I don't mean literally like this, who would you like to pick the brains of?
Who would I love to pick the brains of, dead or alive? Margaret Thatcher. I just think it'd be really interesting to ask her how she feels about what history makes of her.
And final question, if you could summarize your career in three words, what would it be?
Exciting, exhausting, but hugely, hugely satisfying.
Paul Brand, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks very much.
You're listening to Journos in Lockdown.
And that's all we have time for today. Thanks to Paul for his time in answering my questions. And make sure to follow us on Twitter. We're at Lockdown Journos. We'd also love to hear from you, your thoughts, opinions, and maybe even questions on the series so far. But in the meantime, stay safe and look forward to the next episode where Ben will speak to Newsnight's health correspondent, Deborah Cohen. But for now, goodbye.